Good morning, brothers and sisters. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Well, right after Pascha, we began the whole cycle of what's called the church calls the Pentecostarian. And this is the cycle of all the different prayers and services from the time of Pascha until 3 weeks after Pentecost. And during this time, the epitaphion, the burial shroud that represents Christ's body after it was taken down from the tomb, remains on the altar for 40 days, and then is removed on the eve of Ascension. And so we also continue to use the white paschal colors for our altar coverings and vestments during this time to honor Christ's resurrection. And just as Christ continued to comfort and console his disciples until his Ascension, so he is close to us during this time as well. That's why the fast is kind of relaxed a little bit. You know, it's a very celebratory time in this 40 days after Pascha. Well, during the 40 days of Great Lent, each Sunday had a particular theme, and those mainly all had to do with repentance. But during these 40 days after Pascha, once again, each Sunday has a theme. Last week we had Thomas Sunday. Today is the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing woman. Then there's the Sunday of the paralytic, the Sunday of the Samaritan woman, the Sunday of the blind man, and then the Sunday of the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. And while each of these has many different elements, the general theme that underlies all of these Sundays after Pascha is faith. Well, Apostle Thomas, we read about last week, came to faith through his perseverance and also through his senses. He touched Christ's side and his hands and believed. The myrrh-bearing women were rich in virtues and love for the Lord, and through their service to him, they were on their way to anoint his body with the spices. They became the first witnesses of the Lord after his resurrection. The paralytic believed in the power of God, but was unable to get down to the pool in time to be healed. And yet Christ asked him if he wished to be healed, and when he said yes, Christ healed him. The Samaritan woman believed in the coming of the Messiah, and so when she met Christ at the well, he led her to faith. When Christ anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and spit and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam, the blind man believed that if he did as Jesus commanded him, he would be healed. And finally, it was at the First Ecumenical Council in about the year 325 that the very symbol of faith, the Nicene Creed, was presented and accepted to serve as the essential expression of our Christian faith. If anybody's ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, there's a scene where George Bailey is having a rough day since his bank deposit went missing. He's pretty frustrated and kind of grouchy. At one point, his kids are all kind of annoying him a little bit. And his son says to him, "Daddy, how do you spell hallelujah?" And George replies, "How should I know? What do you think I am, a dictionary?" Well, maybe when we were kids, we might have found it easier to just ask our parents for some information rather than look it up ourselves. You know, maybe you're a little lazy. But this is actually a good image of a spiritual principle, because God expects us to do our part, to make the effort to do the right thing. After all, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 7, the Lord tells us, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." However, we cannot bring about our own salvation by ourselves. It turns out that we need God's help. In some ways, our relationship with God is very much like a parent and a child. The parent knows that in order for their children to grow and learn, they cannot do everything for them, but must teach their children to learn how to do things themselves according to their level of maturity. Well, this is what the myrrh-bearing women did. They bought the spices with which to anoint Jesus' body. They made their way to the tomb very early in the morning, despite the danger they faced if they were caught. There were armed guards at the sepulcher, and the tomb had officially been sealed with a Roman seal from the governor. And in those days, the penalty for breaking one of those official Roman seals was death by crucifixion. So it was no small thing. And that was upside down, by the way. Beside everything else, there was an extremely heavy stone that probably weighed somewhere between 1 to 2 tons that was covering the entrance to the sepulcher. And yet, these women disciples of the Lord did everything that they were able to do, and somehow they had faith that they were able to anoint his body. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They said, "Who will roll us away the stone?" You know, I mean, and they had to be worried about the guards, you know, and this was really a very rash risky and careless thing for them to do in some respects. But they were determined to do it, even if they got caught, even if they got killed. They were going to try to anoint Christ's body or die in the process. But look what happens next and see how their faith was rewarded. God sent an angel to roll away the heavy stone. The guards, as it says in the scriptures, became as dead men. They just were in a stupor. They just, when this angel came, it's unimaginable what those, here's just some Roman guards, and they're sitting at this tomb, right, and just standing there, they're probably bored, thinking, why do we have to do this, you know, nobody's going to come into this tomb and take this body away. And they got their swords and their spears, probably having a little something to drink, you know. And all of a sudden, some angel shows up, probably in a flash of blinding light, and tosses a stone away like it was a pebble. And, I mean, they were just, you know, they didn't know what to make of this, you know. And then Christ appeared to them in his resurrected body, telling them to go and tell the apostles that he had risen from the dead. What an amazing sequence of events. What a great honor it was for them to be the first ones to whom the Lord revealed his resurrection. Well, brothers and sisters, surely every one of us has had some kind of problem or struggle in our spiritual lives that we need to find a solution for. And we probably thought about what to do many times and perhaps have already tried to remedy the situation, and yet maybe so far nothing has seemed to work. Well, what we need to do is imitate these holy myrrh-bearing women. Start by making a sacrifice, as they did, by acquiring the sweet-smelling spices, in other words, the virtues. Holy Fathers tell us that these myrrh and other spices that they had were actually an image of the virtues. And then go forward with the faith that there is no obstacle that God cannot manage, and he will roll away the heavy stone from our hearts and reveal himself to us in just the right way and the right time. Christ is risen.
He is risen.